many of you received the Daytona Beach News Journal? Yeah. On Wednesday morning, if you look at the Daytona Beach News Journal or see it online, on page 6A, not a little small section, but a large section, and then it goes on the back and it's talking about the one and only Paige Long, who is not only here at our church, but she's known worldwide, an international figure and personality, and we thank you for your ministry. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. All right. Excellent article. Let me call your attention to our scriptorial passage. If you look on the screen or look in your Bibles or on the back of your worship bulletin, our passage this morning is taken from one of the prison letters of the Apostle Paul, from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 16. The Apostle Paul was in prison, but he sends this letter to the early believers and to us even today as a word of encouragement on our spiritual journey. Paul's purpose was to continue the plan, the purpose, and also talk about the prize of being a believer. Listen to these words as I read from an inclusive interpretation of Paul's letter. Brothers and sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Bless you. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you with excitement and joy the title of my sermon, Going for the Goal. Going for the Goal. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Going for the Goal. Well, it's a beautiful picture that we have on the screen. I was asked immediately when I entered the sanctuary, how many televisions do you have watching the Olympics? But thank God for remote control. Amen. Amen. Going for the goal. In Rio, over 10,000 athletes participating in 28 events over a span of 17 days, trying to receive at least one of the 300 medals that will be given out, gold, silver, and bronze. These athletes have conditioned and trained their bodies. They made the necessary sacrifice to participate now on the largest stage. Some have waited for over 3.5 years to get to this moment, And from all parts of the world, from all countries, you see athletes who are there. And then, of course, we have the home team with one who is carrying that banner, Michael Phelps, who has more medals than anyone who ever participated in the Olympics. It is a fascinating event, but it also reminds me by reading this passage of scripture from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, of how the Apostle Paul could view faith and compare faith to athletic events. Because if you read Paul's writing very closely, you'll see in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and even in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it is though the Apostle Paul is coming from a sporting event. Paul talked on numerous occasions about boxers in the boxing ring or wrestlers in the wrestling match duking it out, or even the runners who would run in the stadiums, the Greek Olympic stadiums, the Apostle Paul would share those images and examples. And here now, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of his own life and those who also who are part of the faith, and how indeed we should respond to God's plan for our lives, God's purpose for our lives, in order to receive the ultimate prize. Well, if you look at the first question that we have in our sermon notes, it's a question that I want to share with you and ask you. Have you ever wondered how much gold is actually in a gold medal? Have you ever wondered about that? Yeah. Well, believe it or not, there are 531 grams that makes up a medal. But in a gold medal, there is only 6 grams that are true gold. Now, look at your jewelry that you have on, if you have on a gold item. No one wants to be walking around with any fake gold. Hello? In our last service, right here in the middle row here, we had a young man, and he was here because his girlfriend's parents are members of this church, and it was his first time meeting them, so he made the smart move and decided that he would come to worship with his girlfriend and her parents. And he was looking so lovely and sharing and heaved so proudly when I gave him the mic to introduce himself. He talked about himself. And then I got up here and preached the sermon, and I looked at him and I was talking about this gold and how really in the Olympic gold medal there's only 6 grams. And I said to him, son, I know you're excited. You made the right move. You're here in worship. But if you're going to give her for her birthday was getting ready to happen, if you're going to give her a gold ring or a gold necklace, make sure it's 100% gold. Yeah, that's right. That's right. No one wants to walk around with imitation gold. But look at these athletes. They have trained their bodies. They have conditioned their bodies over and over again to win the ultimate prize, a gold medal. That's the ultimate prize. This young man here, by the way, is Ryan, and he's a graduate of Spruce Creek High School in the University of Florida. But these athletes have trained extremely well, and they have disciplined themselves. They've stayed focused. They didn't allow the distractions to hinder them. They pressed towards the mark to win the ultimate prize. Let me help you fill in the blanks. Here's going to be a good one. The Apostle Paul, if you look at the next bullet point. You just noticed that, didn't you? Look at here. Paul says, this is one thing I do, just like an Olympic athlete, Paul specializes in one thing, reaching the goal. Last week at our picnic, we had a cornhole tournament. And I'm so glad she's here now in the worship service. Yeah, she just really noticed her picture. Yeah. And she had a motor scooter. And she had a motor scooter, and we were lining up the teams, and she said she wanted to play. And it surprised us all. And she was looking to play, and then when she shared that she's just a teenager in her 80s willing to play, she was not just going to play cornhole to participate, but get this, this was her first time playing. And she was playing not to just be a participant, but she was playing to win. Did you get that? I just said that it was her first time playing. She's just a teenager in her 80s. It's never too late to do something different, to participate. Never give up on life, but still have life and have life more abundantly. She, along with others, were playing for the very first time, even our winner. for the first time. And we were all amazed. And here she is. They captured her, making her first point in cornhole. Give her a hand. Yeah. But what was really amazing is after we had played, she was on her way back, sat in her wheelchair and rolled herself to her car. And she didn't want anyone to help her. She hit the button. It opened up the trunk. She placed her wheelchair in the trunk, closed down the trunk, opened the door, got in the door, and mind you, she was driving a sports car. Now that's class. That's class. I want to be just like that when I get in my 80s. Still have life. Still willing to do something different. Never give up on that competitive edge and those juices and being willing to move on and press on. The Apostle Paul said it best. With all the distractions that we have coming at us day in and day out that's calling for our attention, Paul says there's one thing I do. One thing. It was the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. It's more than a cliche. The Apostle Paul's one thing was making disciples for Jesus Christ and nourishing his relationship with God. That was his main thing, his main agenda. And Paul is reminding you and me to participate in at least this one thing. Paul kept his eyes on the goal. And you see here, he was actively involved. He says, reaching towards the goal. Look at the next bullet point. Let me help you. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul said, I refuse to look behind me at my past. There are some people who live in the past, live in yesterday. They drown themselves in the past, past mistakes, past failures, past disappointment, but never live in the past that it hinders you from your future. Learn from the past, yes, but don't dwell there. Don't live there. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul refused to live in his past. Now, mind you, and you Bible students know this extremely well. The Apostle Paul cited three times as it relates to his past life, before he was a follower of the way. You look at Acts chapter 9, if you want to write that down, Acts chapter 9, and you'll see that the Apostle Paul, he gave this reference three times as it relates to his conversion experience, how he was riding on a horse. He was riding on a beast in some translations, and he was going to Damascus to arrest all the followers of the way. That's what Christians were called at that time. And Paul clearly stated that he saw a light. Brighter than the noonday sun. It blinded him. He fell off his beast. He fell to the ground and he looked up. And even though he couldn't see, he says, why art thou persecuting me? Because the voice said, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? Good question. I am Jesus whom thou persecute. And look how God worked. Even though Saul could not see, he had that one-on-one encounter with God that we all should have. And there were those who were around him. They could indeed not understand what was happening, but Saul was told to go see Ananias. And so they led him to Ananias' house, and it was there that Saul was converted into the faith. But thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story. Saul's sight is returned. And now with all of this zeal, that he once persecuted the believers, now he himself is a believer. He once was a sinner, but now he's a saint. He was an unbeliever, but now he's a believer. He was blind, but now he sees. Praise be to God. And he talks about that experience not to dwell there, but to encourage. He used it as an encouragement for those who are seeking a closer relationship with Christ. And Paul says, I'm not going to live in my past, past hurts, past disappointments, past failures. I'm looking at my present and my future. And regardless of what you've done in your life and I've done in my life, God is willing to forgive us and cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness and put us back on the right path. Paul's life with the believers started on a shaky ground, but then you keep reading the Bible. Keep reading about the Apostle Paul. Paul starts soaring like an eagle. Paul was now getting his wings and he was flying high. He was making disciples. He was changing lives. How do we know? Well, you read the background of the book of Philippians and you'll see not only is Paul speaking these words, but it's actually his protege, Timothy, who's writing these words. The apostle Paul also not only received the word, but he encouraged others to follow the word of God. Look at this photo here of these eagles. These eagles are flying high. An eagle's wing spreads over 6 feet. An eagle sees a storm coming. An eagle doesn't back up. An eagle doesn't move from side to side. An eagle does what? Goes straight forward. Straight towards that storm. And the eagle soars. So much so that the prophet Isaiah, he picked up on this. He has a passage of scripture in Isaiah, the 40th chapter and the 31st verse. Now, you can write that down or you can look here on the banner to my right. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as what? Eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Eagles, they have a way of soaring above the clouds. It reminds me of a story, and I shared this at the previous services, so let me read this to you now. There's an old Native American legend about a jealous eagle. Look to your neighbor and say, jealous eagle. The eagle resented the fact that another eagle could fly higher than he could. He went to a very famous archer and he asked him to shoot the eagle out of the sky. The archer shot and missed. The archer said, if only I had better feathers on my arrow, I could hit him. So the eagle plucked several feathers from which the archer attached to his arrow. He shot again and missed. I think I need some more feathers, said the archer, and the eagle obliged. Again, he shot and missed. This happened again and again until the eagle had almost no good feathers left. He could no longer fly at all. And at that point, the archer shot him. The moral of the story is this. In the end, when we suffer from jealousy, only harm comes to ourselves. Did you get that? Yeah. Do you celebrate in other people's accomplishments when they're known? Not just here in Palm Coast, but internationally? Do you celebrate when people do well, when they work extremely hard and encourage them in the faith after they have participated and done well? Are you seen as an encourager, eagle, or a jealous eagle? God wants us to be encouragers. Look at the words of the Apostle Paul. He refused to live in his past. Let me help you with the next bullet point, is this point here. Paul would say, I press towards the mark. Deleko is the Greek word for press. That means to pursue. He was willing to pursue. He was willing to press on. He was willing to make it. Did you see that young lady who just walked down this aisle to get next to her family? That's Deleko. She was pursuing her way to get down to her seat by her husband and her baby. Amen. Yeah, that's moving forward. That's continuing to move, not to get distracted, but reaching your goal. Paul says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We should all be pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Lord, plant my feet, as the hymnologist has said, on higher ground. Look at the next question. It's this question here. Are your eyes on Jesus alone? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. Are your eyes on Jesus alone? Yeah. This weekend, my family had the opportunity to travel with me to Jacksonville. I was officiating a wedding of a couple that periodically comes to our church, and they were getting married in Jacksonville. Come from a large family, both sides. Large family. Unbelievably, at the rehearsal, you would have thought it was the wedding. So many people in the family showed up. They came from all parts of the country just for a wedding rehearsal. Of course, maybe it had something to do with the wedding dinner, too. Amen. And as I was sharing with the bride and groom, and they were rehearsing their vows, they kept looking around at the parents, at their siblings, at their friends, and they were messing them up, messing up the vows all together. And so I stopped them and I said, only way you're going to make it tomorrow is that you look at each other. Don't worry about those who are around. Don't get distracted. Just look at each other. Because, see, I'm reminded several years ago, and Mikhail's very aware of this person as well. He's going on to be with the Lord. But several years ago, I married a United Methodist preacher and his wife, Betty. His name was Bobby Bradley. And at his wedding, not the wedding rehearsal, but at his wedding, he was at the altar, had all his buddies from school and from his basketball team and all that kind of good stuff. And at his wedding, only I could hear him recite his vows. And one of his buddies stood up and said, we can't hear you. And guess what he did? He turned around and said, I'm not talking to you. Yeah, yeah. He was talking to his bride. Yeah, he was looking at his bride and talking to his bride. Paul would tell you and me, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look to the right or to the left or measure yourselves up to anybody in here. Look unto Jesus. He was focused on Jesus. The hymnologist said it best, if you have your hymn books, look at hymn number 349. The hymnologist says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in his wonderful face. And the things of the, on the earth will go strangely dim in light of his glory and his grace. Nehemiah, the 14th chapter and the 4th verse B said that the 14th chapter, the 14th verse, excuse me, said that this way, remember, the Lord is what? Great and awesome. He's awesome, and he will be with us along this journey. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Won't you stand?